B-Pod Studios.
B's in four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners, he has three.
Hello, welcome to the show.
That's a personal foul on Mo Williams. Timeout in the court, the Clippers down by eight.
You want with the
CP? Dude, you weren't out here.
That sounded real sexy in my ear, by the way. Yes, I am. Water. I thought you were saying my bum. Like, why are you looking at my ass, Boyd? And when did you get British? There's something wrong with your bum. Yeah, Southern British. There's something wrong with that boy's bum. So I see a tweet the other day. Did I tell you about the girl naked in New Orleans? I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Got put on Twitter. Golden State with an 8-point lead over the Clippers here at Staples Center.
The internet. We'll get into it in 1 second. Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. Twitch app, subscribe to, or I'm sorry, follow 98.5 The Sports Hub. John, you worked in something like this, I think, too. But when I worked at, we've talked about this before, but since you just played that. That was every night. I worked at CNNSI, and I was an editor, which meant that I had to watch the game feed, and the game feed never went to commercial.
Yeah.
It was what was in the truck.
Yep.
And so during every commercial, the cameraman went and found the girls with the biggest boobs and went and flashed on them. And oftentimes the commentators would talk about the girls with the big boobs.
It's what made being an intern a good thing. You're hating life. It's Friday night. You're watching three baseball games. You'd rather be with your friends somewhere else. It's what made the job worth it.
Right. Yes. And so those poor guys now with the internet.
Yeah, that stuff. And there's people who may not like the hosts, like these people behind the scenes, who may just find a way to leak some of that stuff out there. And then there's, Fred, and I got to think that you and maybe even John have experienced this. This is a quick clip. I got to think that watching some of these games that mean nothing in the middle of the regular season, if you're one of like the producers or guys in the truck, this person didn't know that his microphone was on. I obviously the producer, I guess it somehow accidentally potted up his own mic onto the feed instead of like into like the headphones of the broadcasters, and this happened.
It is up and it is no good.
He missed it
to the left.
Yeah, they put 10 seconds back on the clock. You see the kick right here. Comes out a little bit squirrely. Hooks it dead left.
What a bum. Come on. End this game.
Richmond goes down to defeat for the first time this year.
Let's go home already.
And somehow that made the feed.
So the guy... I say I was an editor? Because I wasn't. I was... I like tracked the games. I can't remember what it meant. But my editor was... now is like the big NBC kid. Woody...
Is he the one who walks onto the set of the NBA on TNT every once in a while?
He's the Today Show weekend guy.
Geist?
Oh, Willie Geist.
Yeah.
So he was behind the scenes. And so it would be me, literally me in this like corral. And then Willie Geist had a cubicle. And it would be a Mariners A's game. And they'd be like, Pinella's trying out a kid, the Japanese kid. He had a 5.5 ERA in the Nishikan League, and he's coming out with the bases loaded. And me and Geist would just be like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this has got to end.
Yeah,
like,
and you're having to write all of this down, too.
It's called logging games. Yes.
It's worse than that, because I'm not logging what's going on. I'm logging if there is a picture of in the dugout of someone. Right. I'm logging I'm logging if there's like a home run or something.
Yeah.
But I'm not keeping score.
Right.
So what they wanted was, for instance, say it was the Pirates or San Francisco, and there was like a good pitch, like a good video of Bonds like smiling on the in the dugout.
Right.
They wanted that.
Yeah.
So so you were never able to like take your eyes off of it, or they get all pissy at you.
Well, it's a way that they can type in a keyword, and they would find the time code of what you had written down.
Because if you and then you look, when you watch highlights, especially for a boring game that's going to be at the end of the package, it's, you know, they're going to go, well, Barry Bonds was out, and then the first shot's going to be Barry Bonds on the bench, like laughing.
Yeah.
It's not what happened on the field. They don't care about what happened on the field. Maybe they'll show two highlights. But, you'd be there for 4.5 hours, or three and a half, 4 hours for a package that would be 20 seconds long on the broadcast.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you know, a good 5 seconds of that would be Barry Bonds smiling on the bench in the dugout. So,
and that's when they still used like tape, right?
We had actual, we used Betamax tape.
So just stacks and stacks everywhere.
We used Betamax tape. Yeah. Oh,
wow. Well, it's funny because my wife had a job that was somewhat similar, where she was working behind the scenes at CNN for a while. And one of her jobs was to help put together death reels before people died.
See, that would be interesting.
I asked her, I was like, when she first got that gig, I'm like, who do they got death reels ready for? And it was just all of the people that you expected. And I would say that the majority of them ended, like, died within the last, or like maybe like 2 years after she started working there.
Well, you got to have one for every president.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You got to have one for,
at the time it was the Pope.
Yeah.
It was the, as you said, a couple presidents. I think they had a Jack Nicholson one, and he hasn't died yet. Like, if you're an older actor, they have it ready to go.
It's not really one you can tack on to the end of it. What you have is pretty much set. You don't need to go back and revisit. Oh, he did this movie. You had to add that on.
Exactly.
I'm not joking. They may have had, and this was 20 years ago, they may have even at the time had like a Betty White one ready to go. I think once you hit like 70, like late 70s.
Yeah, she was 99. Like, she was like a week shy of 100, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure they had it.
They've got it ready to roll. And didn't CNN run a death reel of somebody by accident fairly recently, within the last several years?
I'm telling you, and I can't remember who it was, and it came up on the show last week or the week before. It's a report came out that someone died, and they didn't die, and the network got some crap for it, and then the guy like died 2 days later. It was an actor. And I can't remember who it was because it was no one I cared about.
Yeah.
Yes, Dan.
So on that note, I had a friend who was a year behind me in high school, and he went to a reunion a few years ago, and they did a little thing at the reunion about classmates that have passed, and one of the guys that they did the memorial of wasn't dead.
Oh my God!
I can see that happening.
Like, they had like a little candle out by the front where you got your little name tag and stuff, and he texted me and he's like, "Hey, so?" I'm like, "Well, I hope he's not there. That would suck if you."
Oh, he would rule.
And then you get to jump out of the back. I'm alive.
No. You get to see. I mean, how great would it be to see your own funeral?
Well, they were like, yeah, these are the people that have passed that we graduated with.
Yeah, but at least maybe like, you know, some girl that you had a crush on like gets a little misty, and then you pop up.
And then you just
like,
come out of the bathroom.
I'm here. Because everyone has seen, and it's oddly not interesting, everyone has seen the CNN End of the World tape.
Yeah. The one that Ted Turner had made and ready to go in case they had to turn off all their broadcasting, whether we were, I don't know, a bomb went off or we were attacked by aliens.
It was like a nuclear mm-hmm. winter.
Yeah.
And it's oddly boring. Like, I've never gotten through it. It's the White House with like taps playing. And it's just really not interesting. Like, because you click on it, you go, oh, should I watch this? This is going to be super creepy. And it's just boring.
I think CNN ran the Pope's one time before he had died. That might have been one of the big ones.
Well, you got to figure the royal family. I mean, the way they've been cooking now. I mean, what did I see about the... Like, the Queen of England was alive, like, when... like they invented fire or something. She was I saw something on one of those Facebook things I'm always clicking on, and they're like, do you know, like she was alive, like when, you know, like when
Henry Ford rolled out his first car.
Oh well, no, she was alive for that for sure. She was, yeah, it was like
a black, you know, it thing was like with rickety wheels.
It was like, you know, like Lincoln got shot or something like that. Like,
I guess CNN had reported that Abe Vigoda had died. Is that what you're saying, Dan? Before
that's it? That was it.
It was Abe Vigoda.
A caller called in and said that.
Yes, it was Abe Vigoda.
All right. Oh,
that was the one.
Right. Popped up and said, no, I'm not dead yet.
Well, no, well, but then he died. He died like 2 days later.
Yes.
I do think that they reported that Kurt Cobain had died before anyone else, because remember, he was in a coma for a while first, right? Wasn't it reported that he was in a coma, like, was he in Paris or something where he had overdosed? And then
Paris or Rome?
Yeah, and then it wasn't until a couple of months later that he killed himself. And I think when he was in the coma...
Wait, he was in a coma before he killed himself?
Yeah. So is it considered a coma? It was like a drug overdose, and he was unresponsive. Yeah. It says the rock
that
musician
was college, right?
It was 94, I think.
Yeah, so I got no memory.
It was reported by CNN, though, he was in fact in a coma after an overdose in Rome in March 94, shortly before his actual death in April. So, yeah, so a month before they'd reported he was dead.
If something happened between 93 and 97 when I was in college in popular culture, I did not care about it at all. I was way too concerned with desperately trying to get laid. I just didn't care. Mm-hmm. I didn't consume any music. I went to one movie. I saw Private Parts. Nothing. No popular culture. The OJ Chase.
Okay.
But I think that was the summer before my freshman year.
That was 93. That was June of 93.
No, that was you going into your sophomore year.
Okay, so I did that.
June of 94?
Yeah.
And then we sat in my dorm room, my roommate and I, and watched the OJ Verdict. So those I can tell you what I knew. Private Parts of the movie and the OJ stuff. Other than no sports, no anything.
That was a period of my life where I was seeing two movies a week at the theater. Like, we just would go like all the time. So I saw like everything. I saw crap. Anything it was put out there. I saw both of the Grumpy Old Men movies in the theater.
See, Grumpy Old Men 1 is a quality film that I've seen on more than one occasion.
I even saw the
second one's awful.
The sequel in Heart, not Grumpy Old Men, but what was the one with the two ex-presidents who had to start working together?
Oh, Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau. What movie was that? I know which one you're talking about.
I think it's Jack Lemmon, but it's, who's the guy?
Matthau's the other guy.
The guy from Tank, James Garner. That's right.
Was it Garner?
I think James Garner was the other president. I've seen every crap movie from maybe 93 to 2000.
Grumpy Old Men is not a crap movie.
Gone Fishing, you seen that one with the two people who aren't Mel Gibson from Lethal Weapon? Danny Glover and Joe Pesci?
I never understood how that got made.
Gone Fishing?
Yeah, because don't they find like a head?
I don't know if they find a head. I know there was some sort of madcap thing that happened, but I remember they're like, today's a 10. They would look at each other and go, borderline 11.
Okay.
That was the big catchphrase.
Yeah.
That took the world by storm. My fellow Americans, that's the name of the movie. One of our listeners, that's the president's one.
See, James Garner just had the greatest theme song of all time to the Rockford Files, which just is the greatest theme song of all time.
It's not as good as Sanford and Son. It's great, but Sanford and Son's the best.
But the Rockford Files is an actual good song.
Well, so is Sanford and Son.
Not Skeet.
No, I'll take Rockford Files.
Yeah, Rockford Files is
Rockford Files is better.
Yes.
It is great. I actually liked this show when I was watching it in reruns.
Well, Garner's very good in it.
Yeah, Garner's very good in it. But I like this song. Sanford and Son is fine, but this, for some reason, this carries. This is still good after all this time. Oh, no, you listen to Sanford and Son, you're like, okay, this is dated.
Maybe Taxi's better.
Taxi. Taxi is depressing.
All right. No. I disagree. I don't think it's depressing.
No, I don't think.
I don't think it's depressing.
Taxis?
No.
I think it's mundane. I think it's supposed to show how mundane the being a taxi driver.
You see, the problem is, I like that theme song, and then we used to play Cab Fare by Souls of Mischief, and that's how I kind of got wrapped up in this.
This is depressing.
This guy does now is sue rappers that use anything, because that album Nautilus I forget the guy's name, but this guy was sampled by like a million people.
Right.
It's. I mean, listen.
But Souls of Mischief, that was never released for that reason,
right,
correct?
Because okay. he wouldn't clear the sample.
That's right. But getting back to the Rockford Files, the Rockford Files are way better than both of those things.
Yes.
I love the theme song. Always have.
Yes. Maybe someone could sample that.
It is very good. I still think Sanford & Son's the best. Sanford & Son's is still a funny show. Like, if that comes on, that's a pretty good show.
Sanford & Son is good. I don't know if I could get through two episodes in a row.
That's fair.
Do you know that they made a Grady spinoff?
No, they didn't.
They absolutely, 100%, I will slit my arm and let you drink of my blood.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And it is a show called Grady.
All right, hang on.
And it was on for less than a year, as you might expect.
Let's take the most boring part of that show and make a show out of it.
Well, did Grady even speak on the show? But there was a spinoff that was called the drinking of my blood, maybe not the name Grady, but it was a spinoff of Grady. And it was the last thing, I guess it was the last thing that dude ever did. And he was strangely younger than you think, which is also weird.
Really?
About Grady. Yeah. Yes, it was a spinoff of Sanford & Son.
Grady moves out of Watts and moves in with his daughter and her family in the Westwood section of Los Angeles. Norman Lear was a consultant on that show.
Norman Lear
did Sanford & Son, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
If it had a black guy in it, it was a Norman Lear production in the 70s.
He was Jefferson's as well, right?
Oh, he was Jefferson's. He was All in the Family.
10 episodes.
Ten episodes
of Grady before that was it.
I don't know.
1974.
I don't know who saw that and said, you know, this guy's a star.
In fairness, I didn't think Frasier was going to take off.
No, neither. I saw the first episode of that, and I'm like,
was it as good as the Tortellis? Remember that spinoff?
Oh, God.
But here's the deal with Frasier is that it was so incredibly cast.
And very well written.
Yes.
And very well written.
Yes.
I mean, if Frasier could have easily missed the mark, but the idea that Niles is one of the great television characters.
I remember when they did that, I was thinking, Frasier might be the sixth most interesting character on Cheers, and you're going to do a spinoff on him, and they made it work. Like, I never watched Frasier, but regularly I didn't watch it.
I never watched it when it was on.
But when it was on, like, if it happened to be on TV, it was always funny. It was just very well written. I don't know if it was the same writers as Cheers, but it was definitely always good.
It won, like, 5 million Emmys. I think it was on longer than Cheers, too. But it used to be on, like, the gay channel. It used to be on, like, Logo
mm-hmm.
like, 12 hours a day. So over the course of like 3 years, I saw every Frasier.
Was Niles a gay character?
No. Niles was obsessed with Daphne.
Oh, okay.
The live-in nurse but it's funny because the dad on the show and Niles in real life were gay.
That's right. I forgot the dad was. Yep.
Mm-hmm. He of Say Anything fame. Who always played a gruff father, but deep down he was a sensitive man of stage and screen. So there you go.
I've never seen Say Anything. I know the scene of him with the boombox and all that. I've never seen that movie.
Save your time.
Yeah, it's like one of those that got by me, and I've got no reason.
There's the John Cusack, Jeremy Piven thing. They're in all these movies together. They're in that one together. Piven just shows up randomly for no reason.
The thing is, if Cusack was in a movie in the 80s, it had like cool music in it, which is really the only reason to watch it, because he'd always have a Fishbone song on.
Sure.
And I'd be like, oh, Fishbone.
One Crazy Summer. I mean, listen, that's all you need.
I think that was before he had the power to do that. But like tape heads, like Fishbone playing it.
Right.
So I've sat through the Tim Robbins Cusack tape heads just to see, like, you know, a minute of Fishbone playing in it.
You know what's funny is I'd seen, when I was a kid, One Crazy Summer, I saw it a million times, and it's basically just because the guy with the beans and the fart and the sand and all that. But when I noticed, like, for a couple years in a row, down in Nantucket, they have this, like, almost like a festival having to do with, like, One Crazy Summer. And this is before I knew it was filmed there. I'm like, why the hell is anyone obsessed with this movie?
The cast members
of One Crazy Summer are going to be doing like a meet and greet.
You told me that. You told me that, and I'd be like, A, this is no, like, I get like the Sandlot kids coming to a baseball game.
Yeah.
This is no like iconic thing. Like, that for generations people have shown their kids. Like, you got to see One Crazy Summer. Yeah, right. And also, if I'm Nantucket, like, I don't want to be associated with One Crazy Summer.
Because it does look like a depressing place
it
in the movie.
It is the most depressing looking movie. It is shot horribly. Yeah. I don't know if it rained every day for the month they shot that thing. But, I mean, for a comedy, I mean, it is like visually dark the entire time.
So they do it, and it's without, of course, John Cusack. I don't believe they even have Bobcat Goldthwait.
No,
Demi Moore. Was Demi Moore the girl in that?
Yes, Demi Moore was the love interest.
So
yes.
It's like the villain's best friend.
Nita Meyer's son in that movie.
Yeah, but
the guy from Napoleon Dynamite is the one who's calling up. The guy who could throw the ball over the mountain.
Uncle Rico?
Was he? Because I don't know. I don't think he was.
No. That was some weird dude. Wasn't Rich Little the broadcaster in that? Wasn't he the radio DJ, Rich Little?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that's what Dan's saying.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's probably the guy who called up the radio station. Matuzak can't be alive. So
no
chance. There's no way Matuzak's
no way
alive.
He can't be in it.
If Matuzak's alive, just do whatever you want with your life because you ain't dying.
Did he die in 89?
Yeah, no.
Maybe it was I Want to Rock guy. Maybe it was Niedermeyer who they had doing like a meet and greet. Because that's him, right? He was the dad of the rich
Niedermeyer,
kid.
The only way to win is to cheat.
That's right. Maybe he was one of the guys. So they went about five people down the cast.
I cannot stand that movie. It's just because of it's so depressing.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Yeah, Booger, that's right. Booger's in that too.
Oh,
Booger's in there.
Are you not getting that confused with like, hey, I want to kill myself? The one where he goes
better off dead.
Snow.
Yeah,
that's another wildly depressing movie.
That's right. He's in both of those movies. That's right.
Booger, a strangely productive career. He has consistently worked.
Yep. What TV show was he like a part of? Because I think
Moonlighting. He was on Moonlighting.
Yes, he was. Good call.
He was. He's consistently worked. So there you go. But I do think that's very funny that when you tell the story about how they do this thing in Nantucket, it's like of all the like things, like of all like the dumb movies, like it's I can't even. I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head as dumb as that, and I can't. Like, everybody, welcome to Vero Beach, Florida, where Screwballs was made.
it was so weird until I realized, it's filmed here. But even then, it's like
Nantucket stands on its own. It's not like Nantucket needs.
Not a lot of movies filmed there.
Yeah, well, because it probably cost $1 trillion. But, I mean.
Well, look, I mean, you go to Martha's Vineyard, everywhere is Jaws. Like, I mean, the movie's what? Almost 40 years old?
But Jaws is an iconic. Great film that ushered in. It was the first blockbuster, in many people's opinion, was Jaws. And I just watched Jaws last weekend. And my son was very... I was afraid he was going to get nervous with the shark, and he found the shark to be uninteresting because of, it was in the 70s. All right, Rich, the Bruins played last night. I don't know what you want to do first.
Let's start with the Bruins. Not a good time. We've also got... some news regarding Brad Marchand and his status. We'll get to all that stuff.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now,
that's hard on the ears.
More Tusher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oof, I don't care for that at all.
Recapping what you missed, it's Tusher and Rich.
Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, unlike Wallach back in the 90s, the Bruins have a hard time scoring.
Chara with it, plays it off the glass, and it bounces out to center ice, up left wing, drilled toward the empty net, they score. Brock Nelson along the far side. He got knocked down after he delivered the shot, and it clangs into the empty net. Islanders 4, Bruins 1.
Well, that was gross. For the second night in a row, the Bruins scored the opening goal, only to let the lead eventually slip away, and last night... That goal would be the only one for Boston as they lose 4-1 to the Rangers. I'm sorry, the Islanders. Sorry, I'm having a brain fart here.
They played the Rangers before that.
That's right. The problem is clear, though. The Bruins are having a major problem generating any type of offense whatsoever as of late. The power play over the last four games has been trash, going 0-for-8. They've had one goal from any defenseman in the last 13 games, that being one from Charlie McAvoy. And even with Marchand, the Stars were going stale even before that. Taylor Hall scored last night, but it was his first goal since February 1st.
That Bruins stats thing put out some tweet, and Taylor Hall is like near the bottom of the league in production in whatever statistical way they were showing it. So
he's got 11 goals after he scored the only goal of the game for the Bruins. He's got 11 goals total.
For like his ice time or something like that.
No, it's fairly inexcusable, especially what he was at the end of last year. There was high hopes. But according to the stat masters over at the Globe, since mid-January, the Bruins have been outscored 45-25, never able to put together any more than three goals in any of the games. So obviously Bruce Cassidy not feeling it.
They did all the things I think they typically do when they're on. And, you know, we did have a chance in a power play. It let us down tonight. That would have been a timely goal for us, but didn't happen.
Yep. The power play has not been good at all. But the decent news is, actually great news to be honest, is that the captain was back. Patrice Bergeron did return to the lineup sooner than I think anyone expected.
Well, we thought he had a concussion. He didn't.
I think most people thought he had a concussion. Whenever they say upper body injury, and especially after what you saw there,
right.
I think people feared the worst. Thank goodness.
Of course. I mean, it looked like he got a concussion.
Yeah.
The spotter took him off the ice, right?
Was that who took him off? I don't know.
I think he just didn't get up. All right, it's time to go.
All right. Well, anyway, I mean, of course we thought it was a concussion.
Yeah, but even though his meeting with Gary Bettman was 2 days ago, the Bruins still have yet to hear an answer as to whether or not Brad Marchand's six-game suspension would be less.
The NHL has had it, is what this is.
Well, what are they going to do? I mean, so let him serve the suspension.
No, Brett Marchand's like, can I please have time served? And the NHL's like, no, six games, sit there.
Yeah, I know. Like, at what point is it to do anything now?
Well, I mean, that was his fourth game at home last night, so they head to Ottawa to play the Senators tomorrow. Puck drops at 7. Maybe Marchand will be there. Maybe he won't.
Okay, I will say this. You can't lose to Ottawa and the Islanders back-to-back. You can't. You got to win tomorrow.
Yeah, Ottawa's a bad team. And don't forget, they just beat them 2-0 in the same building last weekend.
You got to beat Ottawa.
Yeah, you do.
Or listen, they're not doing anything in the playoffs. And by the way, as bad as their scoring is, what they need is defensemen. And so this is not an easy fix. I mean, if they make a deal at the deadline, it's going to be for a defenseman.
When is the deadline again?
It's at the end of next month.
Wow, it just seems so much further down the road. The 21st?
It is in hockey.
Much different.
It's much different in hockey.
And also, there's probably the whole Olympic thing that maybe moved it back as well.
No, it's generally... I don't know.
It just feels longer than usual.
It's later in the season than it is certainly in football and basketball. It's baseball, it's late too. But they need defensive help. So, I mean, even if they correct that, I mean, what are they going to do? So, but if you want to make the playoffs and at least establish yourself as you're okay, I mean, I understand you're missing Marchand, but you can't lose to the Islanders and Ottawa in a row. That just can't happen. Those are two lousy teams. So they better get with it. I'll be on vacation, but get with it.
I'll be honest. I was casually watching the game last night.
It was
fairly boring. I was flipping between that and the absolute S show that happened during the Olympics yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh my, Fred. I don't know if you saw any of this. So obviously, there's that whole deal with the Russian. I forget what her name is.
Yeah, I saw it during the show.
No. But I don't know if you've seen what they've discovered about everything that happened yesterday. So the 15-year-old who was the Russian who ended up getting caught for doping, they're letting her skate, and if they won a medal, no one would be at a medal ceremony. So she goes out there yesterday. The other two Russian girls go and they kill it. Number one, number two. At the time, someone from Japan was in third place, and it was the final skate of the night. 15-year-old goes out there and cracks.
Camilla Valieva.
Yep, absolutely cracks under the pressure and falls a couple times. And when she's done, she starts skating over to the side to her coaches, who, by the way, her coaches are the worst human beings. They're doping her up, essentially. It's like child abuse, almost, at 15 years old.
They're giving her this heart medicine, and what they're saying is she got into her grandfather's heart medicine.
Yeah.
That's the excuse from the Russians.
Well, they're also saying that they didn't want to pull her from this because the emotional trauma of taking someone out of the game at that age could be something that will stay with her entire life. How do you think she feels now?
I know, as opposed to what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Are you talking about, did you read that Wetzel article when they're talking, when he was talking about that?
Well, there's a new, so what happened was,
I read it
she
yesterday.
Skates to the side, and instead of like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, this 15-year-old's crushed, her trainers look at her, and they translate it and said, why did you let it go? Why did you stop fighting? Explain it to me. You let it go after that axle, why? And she just starts losing it. She's 15 years old. It's like a, like barely a sophomore in high school.
And they ignored the other girl that didn't come in first.
So what happened was, while that was going on, and all of a sudden, everyone thinks there's going to be a medal ceremony that's not going to happen. Now there's a medal ceremony because she fell out of the top three. She's in third place, and they put the camera on the one Russian girl who won the gold, and she's sitting there like holding a teddy bear, and no one is going up and talking to her. She's literally sitting here by herself like, what do I do? She's freaking out because the second place girl, I guess, was promised that she would get a gold medal if they did everything that the judges told her to do, or everything that her coaches told her to do. And she, like, I guess, did set some record for the amount of axles or whatever. And she is screaming. She's screaming, I hate you. I hate this sport. I want to go home. I want my mom. Oh. She's yelling this at her coaches.
God.
She's losing her mind. And when she said, I'm not going on the I'm not going on the podium. I'm not doing it. And I guess when one of the English people who from the IOC goes over and tells her where it is, she goes, I can't understand English. They translated it. I'm not going anywhere. So you've got one who's absolutely crushed because she was the 15-year-old who the whole world now thinks is this horrible doper, even though it's not her fault. You've got the girl who won the gold who's sitting there and no one is talking to her. They've basically abandoned her.
Yeah.
And the second place silver one is screaming and losing her mind and saying that she hates the sport and she never wants to skate again.
So my question is, it's a financial financial disaster for whoever holds the Winter Olympics, let alone the Summer Olympics, but let's say the Winter Olympics.
Yep.
These kids are treated terribly. Stop having them. Stop having the Winter Olympics.
Or just, you need to start regulating.
Does the world change if we don't have the Winter Olympics?
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
I like the Olympics.
I like the Olympics. It's liking something, but I mean, like, what if they never made another Star Wars? Like, is that going to kill you?
But there's all these athletes in sports where that is the goal. Well, it's like people play football to win a championship. Well,
tons of countries. I mean, what would Norway do if you canceled the Winter Olympics?
Well, then let Norway have it every year. I mean,
That would be awesome. Have the Winter Olympics in a place where there's actually snow.
And there's no sun.
Did you read the Boston Globe piece that said the best thing about the Olympics is that it didn't come to Boston?
Yeah.
Like, it cripples the places that have it.
It's true.
It's in a totalitarian regime. Yeah,
but that's why China got it. No one else wanted it.
Well, that's part of my point. So it's in this place that has no business holding something of this kind of spectacle. There's kids in this that are treated terribly. Don't have the Winter Olympics. And you know what? If you're a flippity-doo skier, and I'm sorry, you can flippity-doo ski. I'm sure they make plenty of money in endorsements.
Or you just got to do it to where you're 18 or older. Now, the other thing that made this bad was that, I mean, for almost a month now, these like 15-year-olds, their parents weren't allowed to go. Like, no one is around to be with them.
It's a disaster. No one should be watching this.
No one is watching it.
And that's another thing, is no one's watching it.
Here.
So I'm calling BS to all of this. Just don't have the Winter Olympics.
There are a lot of sports, some or two, where kids are treated poorly, Fred.
Fine.
Summer sports also.
Then get rid of the Summer Olympics, too. But the only thing I'll say about the Summer Olympics is that there have been actual, like, game-changing political things that have happened. Jesse Owens winning the gold medal. The sprinters in the 68 Olympics
68.
Raising their hands with the leather gloves on. I mean, things have happened. You know, the people have been inspired. The Winter Olympics is garbage. Just get rid of it.
Well, people have been inspired by the Winter Olympics.
Who?
I mean, you think of Sean White. I mean, he's an industry.
Well, yeah, but Sean White without the Winter Olympics has every dollar he would have had anyway.
What about the Miracle on Ice?
The Miracle on Ice is a cute thing.
Very political.
No, it's one of the greatest moments in American sports history.
Rich is right about that. The Miracle on Ice was huge politically, too.
Okay, all right, because it was the Soviet Union.
Yes.
Fair enough. All right.
The Jamaican bobsled team.
I mean, that was...
John Candy would have never had a career for
it. It did lead to hilarity.
Dan just said Eddie the Eagle.
Yeah. All right, I'll give you the Miracle on Ice.
Oh, man.
But other than that, we don't need the Miracle on Ice. Like, the world would be the same if the Miracle on Ice didn't happen.
Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan. It's one of the all-time great Olympic stories.
Get rid of the Winter Olympics.
I see. I love watching it. I do.
I don't love it, but I appreciate...
There's not one thing I like in it.
I appreciate... Look, I don't like most of the sports. I don't understand it. I don't think we need the monobob or doubles luge or any of
that. Or the doubles luge is hysterical.
Well, yeah,
or what? The picture of the guy who is the curler because he has like a mustache everyone's supposed to think it's
don't forget
funny.
The long hair, Team Schuster. Represent.
See, I haven't even seen that guy.
No! Yeah. It's a real card.
See, I'm over curling. Like curling's one of those things that's always on. I'm like, I don't even care.
Well, Rich, guess what? There's a guy who with long hair and a mustache that's on a curling team.
Yep.
Like, okay. like we're supposed to go like.
See, he doesn't look like an athlete, but there he is at the Olympics.
Unlike every pitcher in the major leagues, you know, like how many pitchers in the major leagues have long hair and mustache?
Sure.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Anyway, my theory is that this shouldn't be happening.
Well,
shame on everyone who's watching.
What happened with those little girls is it's
well,
insane.
It shouldn't be in China either.
Well, of course it shouldn't be. Well, the IOC's right. In the pocket of these
people.
I know.
I was reading a quote from one of the Canadian figure skaters who called this event sports prison.
Yeah. So they shouldn't. Well, okay. All right. Then I'll amend it to don't have it unless you can get your ass together. And have it where it's actually not going to be an unmitigated disaster.
Have it where there's snow and the facility's already ready to go.
But the countries aren't going to want it because it's a financial disaster. It sucks your economy dry.
Yeah, I will agree up to a point with that. But, like, for instance, Salt Lake City is in talks to host this thing in 2030.
Because Salt Lake City has a bobsled facility.
I'm getting to that. Salt Lake City already has hosted this thing. It's ready to go. It won't be a financial disaster for them. You can just pop it right in there. It's plug and play. They're set to go. And
all right, fair enough. You know
LA in the Summer Olympics, same thing.
Well, we'll see what happens with LA. We'll see how that goes.
Well, a lot of fans will show up, obviously.
That's right.
Parades for everyone.
We have to break, but let's not get so cocky about LA getting out of that thing unscathed. You know what? Fine. If Salt Lake City wants to have the Olympics every year or every 4 years, let Salt Lake City have it. And but this is ridiculous. I won't watch a second of this.
Oh, I mean, those cooling towers in the background of the Alpine slope is just...
Oh, but you don't get it. It's a museum, Rich. That's been told to me that it was a museum.
Yes, everything seems A-okay in that picture. Nothing seems off.
Yeah, just wonderful. It's wonderful to be there. It's just everyone's lying. All right, we'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Catcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Let us go. Max, what is your situation, sir?
Hey, guys. Hey, can you hear me all right? I'm still in China, actually.
You're calling from China?
Yes, still in China. I am in no way affiliated with the Olympics. I actually flew in here for work. I'm here for a 3-month stint. But I just got here about a month ago, and I had to go through 3 weeks of quarantine, so 3 weeks of isolation.
God.
And I got two things I wanted to say to you guys, because I've been listening to you talk about the situation out here. One, you're absolutely correct about everything, and thank you guys, because I was not able to live stream you, but I could at least download your podcast with whatever cellular data I could find. So I was able to listen to you guys during the day. And number two, after a 15-hour plane ride, being thrown out of a bus, not knowing where I was going for a 2-hour bus ride, getting thrown in some quarantine building, I I sat down. I realized that my toilet was just basically a glorified bowl in the ground. And I sat down and I said, this is what vacationing with Marshall Hook would be like. He would absolutely love these facilities. I mean, that's all I could think about. I was like, the Hook man would love this place.
It didn't cost nothing, I would imagine. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I could think about. Hook's probably my neighbor right now. This dude would love isolation. He'd love quarantine.
Is it everything that they describe it as being when you were forced to be away from society for a while?
Yeah, it's pretty bad, and it's not great. Definitely one star is a good, accurate description. And the toughest part is, you know, I can speak little Chinese at best, and then it's not like you're quarantining in the middle of a big city where everyone can speak English. I have no communication back and forth with the people, like, basically running the facility. So it's just kind of like hand gestures. Like, I knew I couldn't leave my room, but like, I'd get a knock at the door. I didn't know if it would be a meal or if they were doing a swabbing test. Like, what the heck was going on? Fortunately, I found out there was an exchange student next door to me, so I was able to connect with him on the Chinese Messenger app. And basically, he did all the translating for me for, like, the hotel security there. But I tell you what, that first bar that I got to go to when I got out of quarantine did some damage there. That's all I got to say. Really, just could not wait to get out of there.
What's the food like they're giving you?
It's solid, like, middle school slop, but, like, Chinese style. That's like, a good way to think about it. It would be, like, some type of, like, insect sometimes. Yeah, but you get some, like, type of meat, some vegetables. I've never had more white rice in my life. But that was the thing, is, like, I couldn't order food or get extra food. Not that I would know how to do it anyway. So it was just kind of, like, you learn to just eat it because you didn't know when. I mean, I kind of got the hang of when my next meal was coming. But if you didn't eat that, there was nothing else you could eat. So you kind of just had to get used to it. So that does a toll on your stomach. That's all I got to say.
How restrictive is the internet over there? I mean, like, you know, we hear people talk about it, but I mean, like, what, were you surprised at what sites you weren't allowed to go to?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much any of the big, like, Silicon Valley sites that you think of, you can't get on. So, you know, Facebook, Google. You don't think about how often you actually rely on some of the. I mean, I don't really care about Facebook, but even just, like, going on Google, you know, you would just, like, oh, like, I want to look up this, and I load my Internet Explorer, and I'd be like, why isn't that not work? Oh, that's right, I can't use freaking Google. So anyways, it just became such a pain, but you kind of learn to deal with it. But oh man, 3 weeks by yourself does a toll on you. It's not like there's a nice TV where you can watch Netflix. You know, Netflix is banned as well. So, I want to call and thank you guys, because I was able to at least download your podcast each day, and that kept me entertained, without commercials for a good 2.5-3 hours a day.
Hope you're being compensated.
Appreciate it.
I hope that your work is compensating you healthily, because this is
it was a big ask, I'll tell you this, Freddie, too. When I was going back and forth about if I was going to do it, I said, you know, this is business, baby. What would Mark Wahlberg do?
Exactly.
It's all about the business.
That's right. All right, Max, well, good luck. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
All right.
We're like the band Firehouse. We're huge in China, apparently.
We're just like loudness.
All right. It's rock and roll crazy nights. You are the heroes tonight.
There's a song called Teriyaki Moto by the band Guttermouth. When she heard rock and roll's crazy nights, she got tears in her eyes. All right. Bert Breer will join us for an hour via the Zoom.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.